accession number 20587, reel 9.
Oh, okay.
This is Tom this won't O'Brien. Be good enough. Tom O'Brien, reel 9. Okay. So, while you were, you know, in the line, I mean, did you hear anything about self-inflicted wounds or desertions or anything like that?
Yeah, there is talk about different things. People shooting their thumb off or, you know, injuring their toe or something like that. I mean, I'm afraid that fact of life, but I don't think it disgusts us. I think that, you know, nothing
did
to do with us anyway.
Any?
Huh?
Did you hear of any? Sort of
I knew one chap, but he wasn't in that our lot, is there? Well, I've heard it's the same as asking a bloke if he's in the firing squad, you know, there. And you're not supposed to know, shoot, but they've been in firing squads.
Yeah.
You know? I've been on court martial, so giving technical evidence. We don't know when he sees these cases, but he's been there. And he was only a, you're only a civilian, more or less, but he'd been there dressed up and giving technical advice to these people. Accidents occurring, German civilians, well, you know, it's charging the British. Of course, they weren't supposed to be carrying any German civilians, but they get involved. And, I mean, you can't have that sort of thing happening after all. It's human nature, isn't it? You're not going to go around police parties on your own, on main. Otherwise, you'd be all gays. Never heard that word in the war, I'm afraid.
What about the padres each?
Huh?
You had padres, didn't you? Padres, priests who travelled with you. The padres.
Oh, padre, oh yes, of course. Yeah, the padre. I mean, you go into a field and there's bodies like, and the padre would... Well, they have service, you know, but very often you'd locate something, you had a tin or something, and you put it on, like, and you had always had the identity disc, plastic they were, not obviously not metallic, like, and you make sure that was in either a little bit of a tin, or tobacco tin or something like that, and you'd place it in its contents, like, and the party would thank us. I mean, sometimes bodies, after a day or two, some bodies begin to... mature, you had to use quicklime in effect, like, you know, as I was saying. It's a known thing, I should imagine, that all the graves you see are low. It's the same thing to say. They know you can't have a body, you know, like, but they got recollection. They're in some field, and they man gets to know now. You've seen them, you eat them. Terrible.
Did you have religious convictions when you were in the army?
Huh?
Were you religious when you were in the army?
Well, I was, as a kid, I was in scouts, but we used to join anything in our day because somebody to go. I used to go to Bible class, I was in the Bible class, I used to go to church regularly. I joined the chapel when I was 14 because I asked my father. Most of my brothers and sisters were confirmed in Sketty Church, you know, but all my mates and that used to go to the chapel. And I got to like the chapel. I got married in the chapel. And the preacher never charged nothing. So, but that was our scene because they played cricket and football. And they, you know, they had more going for the church, in a way, was a bit, a little step up in rank. If it was in Sketty, it was like it was a two-tier base, you know. You had this lot and then the others just a little bit. Oh, right, they thought of it. And that was the, I mean, the Sunday schools you know, nowadays used to be full, of course. You had 10 or 12 classes and going, and chapels. You had the schools, you had Band of Hope on a Monday, you had something else on a Tuesday, you know, all these things. That, fact of life.
Did you have religious convictions when you were in Europe?
Oh, well, I the one thing I didn't know, we were given to understand there was no religion in Germany. Mm. I didn't know that. That's the way we were given to understand, reading about, you know, the. And as you know, all this propaganda that's pumped into it's no good, it's propaganda, we know that. And if you're in a war, you realise it more so than anything. You know, it's all a bloody game in a way. Because the minute the war stopped, what did they tell you to do? Nothing. Mustn't touch this, men do that, men will put you in jail if you take them. You know that. It's all a racket to me, politics, business, you know. Preservation of business. I worked in Krupps, taking reparations. I called it out with a German colonel, with a Australian colonel. He went to Australia with him. taking, you know, they were at that time, they was taking stuff from these different places because machinery was shortage, right, naturally, in this country.
So you were taking machines out?
Huh?
You were taking machines out?
Oh, yes, reparation, they called it.
So what sort of machines were they?
Oh, grinders, millers, you know, the different things like lathes. You know, pretty well, it was what was left of them, because I mean, the place was bled devastated, but it was something, you know.
And where did that go?
Well, they wanted to copy designs in it, didn't they? More than anything, you see, my meaning. It's like everything else. All the industries that were in Germany, toy industry, let me mind what it was. The Allies made, what do you call it, when, you know, find out all about them, and they made, you know, volumes of books out of them. This industry, that industry, it's copying my friends, stealing up each other, whatever it was. Like stealing the scientists and all the rest of it, they all pinched them.
So where did
But I was talking about, you were talking about Padre, weren't we? Was that?
What did you think of the Padres?
Oh, Padres were just like human beings. Well, I mean, they got so used to being in these situations anyway. I mean, they were lived amongst. Even if you didn't shoot somebody or something, they lived in amongst terrible conditions, didn't they? I mean, they were terrible conditions. That period of time after the war, the winter that we spent in and around, people said, oh, Germany had a good time. They don't know nothing. Nothing. They had all these people on the trot, displaced. All our vehicles were under work, and you couldn't cope with it, really. And they're on something, they're trying to... You didn't have a supply of coal. You didn't have a supply of water. And the water we had was all chlorinated. They said, oh, we can open up beer. The beer was like drinking onion water because it was chlorinated. And we had nothing. We had no comforts. They had B-Day or didn't you, over here or something in August. August is when the European war. We weren't, we didn't have no B-Day. We were working and we didn't even have to I know, these things you've got to put up with, and you don't know what's going on.
What did you
think? It was this continuous slog. That was, the conditions was bad. He was living under bad conditions. And the people around you, you know. And you got to know people then, like, you know. Yeah.
What did you think of conscientious objectors?
Oh, well, I don't know. Some were really genuine, and they went down the mines, didn't they? Some, there's a lot of conscientious objectors in the medical corps. They done a blooming good job. And you can't have a messier job than being in the medical corps, believe me, in a war. I mean, about shooting.
So when did you finish? When did you get demobbed?
I got mobbed, the date I said about? Actually, after my leave, you know, so many leave for being abroad, is whatever they call it. I know I come home sometime in November, end of November, but I wasn't due to finish with the army till January or February in 47.
Right.
I started work then anyway, I started work on the end of the year. I could afford to stop home. I was having the
you
army
came
fight.
Home in November 46.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then you were demobbed.
Number group 43 it was.
Yeah, and you were denobbed in February.
And then we were on what do you call it, Z Reserve. Well, I was called up on that for a fortnight. At the time of the career, 51, 52, I had to go to Bursko on tanks. And they were the Remy then, because we were amalgamated like the Remy, and because we were the original workshops, this.
When was it you were called up for a career?
Huh?
When were you called up for a career?
No, I don't know if it was called up because of career, but we were mixed in with National Service. It was either me, I got it in here somewhere.
Which year?
51, 51, or it must have been 51. We had to go away for a fortnight. What they wanted us to do is to join the Supplementary Reserve, see, offering the top rank. I was the rank then. And you had to mix, they mixed, not from the World War II, with the National Service boys, see? Into making and playing soldiers then. Never let me see. I forgot all about the war then. I forgot all about being a soldier. They said, "Where's you? I mean, what do you do with you?" I used my uniform to go to work. I didn't have clothes.
And how long did you were you called up then in 1951? Was it just for a short
time? Only for the fortnight. They wanted to sign on then for this, what I got to say. But if they needed you, they could have called you up, you know. He was on what they called a Z reserve till he was 45.
Right. Let's go back to Rattigan then. You were told you could go home and you would be demobbed quite soon. Is that right? What did you feel about that?
Oh, well, I was asked to stop on, actually, because I was going to, and they said, well, what are you going to do? Well, I was a married man. By that time, I had two children, but another one was due. So where my place is warm. I mean, today, they don't hesitate. They say, oh, we'll stop into the easy. I could have been having an easy life at that time. I had a rank, right, and three stripes and a crown. And like, I'd been living like Riley, if you like, you know, and just send the money home. It wasn't my scene. I wasn't that type. So my place was home.
What was your demob actually like? What did they...
Just a load of travelling. We went to Cuxhaven's well. We went to Cuxhaven. And we're going to cross the North Sea now. This at the time, there was something going on in London because all senior ranks, we was in the medical quarter to sleep because he was supposed to be doing duties like when the other ranks and up queuing for meals. I think it's 48 hours coming across the North Sea. Anyway, I was lucky. I was bad all the way over. I hopeless on the sea, except on the landing craft, and that I was all right. But you asked me, I was sick. And we had a pipe major there. And they were going to Aldershot or something. With, I know something to do with a victory or something. And he said to me, he said, I'll do your duty, staff. He was a big man, fine pipe major, you know, they fine people. And I was green all the way over. It's a good job. Anyway, when we got to London, and Cuxhaven, no, we went to York then from Hull. We landed at Hull. Then we went to York from there, right? That was the demob centre. We were there, all you've done there. I started having a box. We got a trilby or whatever you wanted, or a flat hat. Pick a double-breasted suit. You could keep your overcoat if you pay 26 shillings. I had that overcoat with the Home Guard, mate. And they still charged me 26 proper. I used to put it on the bed with a couple.
So what was it like coming back to civilian life?
Oh, it takes a bit of getting used to it. I would have been no good at all in a civilian army. No good, not at all, because it wouldn't have suited me. I don't like ordering people in the boat to start with, although you were in charge. Couldn't have treated them, but I didn't have the word to get for that. Not my scene. You just come back, and more you left forgot. Everybody was coming back. You weren't accepting when nearly everybody you knew had been in the forces of some sort, as you may mean, so there, you know. And you were working, you took out there, if you managed to bring home a pair of denims, that was your working suit. Cut the stripes off if you had any, not to show what he was.
Did you get a job?
Oh, right away, yes. I had a good reputation. The firm I used to work for, they'd been taken over National Transport. But they wouldn't mean. I said I never used my demob paper at all for a job. I just went. Never used it once. It says on there they make a good foreman and all. Good on icy engines here. Good control men and things like that. That exemplary thing, and it. But they exemplary only supposed to be for regular soldiers, somebody said. Well, anyway, mine is in there. Discharge. I never used it once, the job. I just went up, when I heard how firm I'd been thinking, I could have gone to the National. I said, I'd go to the transport, a good job. The bus company, the local South East Transport. Of course, that was a busy period then. Buses had been laid up to the war and everything was work. Everybody was using buses in those days. So I went up, just seeing the engineer. He said, well, what have you been doing? What have you been? He said, what have you been doing? He said, you haven't now. Oh, he said, I've been away. In the army. Oh, he said, well, who do you work for before? And I said, I'm just transport. Well, he knew then right away that I was, you know. Oh, he said, when do you want to start? Well, I said, I'd put to have leave now. I'll start the end of the year, I said, January, so I'll have a couple of weeks' wages then. Army pay and my wages, no supplement, because there's one much, like £3 something or something. And the rate for tradesmen then after the war was only £4.30, I think it was. And you had when you started work there, I mean, lots of started work there because there been a lot of been in. Some hadn't been in the army, but majority had bought on the force of some sort. And even the boys, like, you know, they were the parents then. But it's just like coming back to army. But the trouble was, I swore I'd never work shift work when he was in forces. You know, because we were on guard and things like that. You say these things to yourself, I'm not going to do it. But when it comes to necessity, you do it. Because after I was on engines, actually, what they call the dock, they used to come in. I did start doing full overhalls on engines, pistons, sort of thing and everything. I was doing them in a day and a half. And for long... And there was a time when they wanted everything on the road, like, see, and they had some diesels which hadn't been in touch, and some of the boys weren't familiar with them.
What was it like, I mean, coming back and being part of a family? Because when you've gone away...
Oh, it was strange.
Wife,
yeah,
you know, and what, she'd had no children,
yeah.
Was it?
You don't connect it then, but yeah. You don't connect it over them, see? Mm. Although, the wife, they come through the war, and it was all about the war, and it was all about bombing, you know, shortages and smoke. You don't inquire. Same as people went to probe, well, what have you been doing with them? I think that's a waste of time, to tell the truth, in the circumstances. Mm. I've been seeing, in reality, you know, it's not a waste of time. Never mind that. If you survive it, you survive it.
Yeah.
And it's no good beating about the bush.
So you had to learn you had to learn to live together as a couple.
So of course
you
do. It's just so silly, isn't it? Nothing happened, you don't know. But what the hell that was the way I looked at things, like,
yes.
And then.
So what physical effects do you think the war had on you?
Oh, I don't know, dear. Because I tried to remain, you know, normality, as a matter of fact. I've never been into anything like, say, we're talking about today, the drugs and all that nonsense. I liked a pint of beer like everybody else. Mm-hmm. I wasn't a big smoker. I was a pipe bowl and something like that. Mm-hmm. And I worked long hours from the word go. Although they made me a deputy foreman after I'd been in the transport for 3 years. They made me, but I had to go on shifts to do it. And of course, going on shift, being a deputy foreman of a couple of depots, he was involved mostly when the foremen were on afternoon shifts. So he used to work 7 days a week, all afternoon. Now I like sport, I still like sport, and I'm still a member of the football club, and I like to, you know, have a weekend football in the evenings. I still retain my presence in the football club. It's the same as playing darts or something in the pub, you know. And I would partake in all sorts of games. Like, I wouldn't... A loner, because you had to do something to survive, didn't you? My wife always pressed my stuff ready if it was the dark night, and I same suit mine and the same shirt, but we had two Van Heusens to go with it. What a 60 collar. But it's always pressed and tidy, and the shoes is always clean, you know?
Do you remember anything else about the. Did you have any contact with the military police at all?
No, I don't know. I've never been involved with police in my life, that's what. Yeah.
No, I mean, did you see them working?
Oh, like I told you about that occasion when they were stuffing these prisoners in the back of lorries and we got annoyed with them.
Yeah.
So wouldn't have hurt if we'd done something about that. I think they've got to be that breed. It's no good beating about the bush. If you're going to be a military policeman, you've got to have a mean streak. No good beating. It's no good, you know, pretending. I know it. In the veterans now, I know one or two, right? And their jobs they took up after were for what they called security and all that. Saluting, good morning, sir, and all that, the door of a factory or something like that. And they maintained that. In other words, they got a mean streak. Otherwise, they wouldn't be in the corps. Unless you got a mean streak, or you were, you know, you're sneaky, if you like. You can call it like, because you're prepared to... delve into other people's, nobody's talking about security. That's really my view, mate. Don't, I may be shot tomorrow for it. No, but if that's the truth.
Yeah.
And unless you're connected that way, I could never be a bloody, I could never be a, I could never be a cigar. When I was a foreman, I used to be covering that, a cover of people's faults around here, not exposing it to them.
When you came back to Swansea,
yeah.
I mean, did you see any people who'd skipped going in the army, but they'd been sort of black marketeers or something, you know, profiteers running the black market?
Not really, yeah. I knew one or two in our unit was pretty good. One bloke from Brighton, he was good. He was a, he wouldn't give
what
me a mouse
to him.
Huh?
What did he sell?
Sell anything. Pinch anything. But he was so smooth, he was a smoothie. Right? Oh, yeah. I bet he was that. Probably might have pinched up a millionaire. He'd, he'd let you down in a way, like, you know, but not one, my type of thing.
Did people sort of skive a lot on basic training, or did people...
Huh?
Were people good at skiving in the army?
Skiving?
Mm.
Oh, I don't think I just had to have it. Not in our, I think in our era, people were more adapt to conform, if you like, you know, to what was required of them. I mean, there was a war, and we didn't ask, but we weren't, we never used to fight between ourselves and that. We never used to, like you see today, all this beating and murder things, you know, to murder the occasion. But we weren't such a vicious people as that. Right? We were used to living together in terraced houses and communities, if you like, and, you know, going in each other's house. You could walk in somewhere, you know. Today, you trespass and they shoot you or something. They'd say, well, if you called them something, I mean, we could call each other what we like, you know. We were mates, just the same in the forces. You could call each other whatever. But today, if you open your mouth and call somebody something, if they thought you had 2 shillings, they'd have it off you because they got the money. I know it's a different world. I don't go along with it. Mm. All this libel and these people suing for this and suing for that. And especially the people suing for, what do you call it, stress and that. I can't understand that. Yeah. They take these jobs on, but they're professional people. Mm. If they weren't professional people, I wouldn't say anything. Mm. You know, but they're professional people. Why join these things? Mm. Forces or the services, you know, of ambulance or anything. Unless you're prepared for what you do, that's part of your job. But how can you say stress? Police and all that, they know what their job is, especially in today's world. Things we saw, I mean, it's not good beating about the bush. I'm told nothing really, you've got to imagine. But when you've been in a war zone for 11 months, you've been in contact with it, believe me. You've seen it, you haven't missed nothing. One way or the other, you've seen it.
Can I ask you one more question?
Yes,
I mean, you had your mother sent 7 sons.
Yes,
after
seven.
Yeah. How did you all fare? You came back with.
Yes,
an injury.
We lost one. I told you about when.
You lost
when
one.
I went, he never saw his baby. Like you know, she lives in Australia now. Mm. Of course, Alice, his wife, is dead. Mm. She went to Australia to live, and my Australian brother, he was in the Australian forces. He's dead now. But his wife came over here. They managed to save enough money for his wife to come over to see her mother before she died. And his son came with her. They came by sea then. It was a few years ago. Like, but the family's done. But we've never been, you know, and I've never been in a position to go to Australia.
Yeah. So there were 6 of you came back.
I've never been in an airplane to the throat. I've been in a glider. 2 trips in a glider, but I've never been in an airplane. Yeah.
So there were 6 brothers who came back then?
Yes, I.
Yes.
Bryn. Well, he died the month he was in the Navy. Willie was in the Air Force. He never went about, he was stationed in Pembroke. David was in with the Manchesters, he was in Normandy. Joey was in Burma with the infantry. He was pretty bad when he came back, but he's all right now. He's still eventually. My other younger, my brother then, the other one was in, he was in Burma in India. But he joined, he was in the Inniskillings, but he stayed in. Because he got married to a girl in India. Her father was only engineer on the railway. I was with her the other week now because he's buried in Cleong and near Hereford. And my 3 sisters' husbands, they all got through. Dick, we finished up in Greece. He was in Dunkirk. There was a couple of them in Dunkirk. And Archie was in Dunkirk. Tommy Clark was in the Guards. He's just died. He was living up the road, yeah, not far from us. My sister's there. Now, my other sister's husband, Ted, he was on the guns, RAs he was. But my 2 younger brothers, then, are not 4, but they're both dead now. He was National service just after the war. One, both went to Aden, and one was in the paratroops, and the other one was in the Navy. So they was in the Middle East, like, you know.
Yeah. That's lovely, right. Anything else you'd like to add?
No, dear, no. I don't want to talk about it.
Excellent.
I don't know if I made a fool of myself or what.
No, not in the least. No, you've been most interesting.
I know there's lots of things you think of now when it goes. Yeah. But I say I'm no, what do you call, narrator or whatever they call it.
That's fine.
And you remember things coming back. Lucky to be able to remember what we have remembered, I suppose.
We've remembered.
I am 86 now. I will be in September if I hang on long enough.
Well done. Ted O'Brien, thank you very much indeed. That's the end of Reel 9. Yeah.